You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
So glad to see kids here as well. I promise this message is going to be short, and you guys can take notes. And if you take notes and you remember the message, your dad and mom are going to give you ice cream this afternoon, okay? That's a promise they're making. All right, let's start with the message. The series title is What You See Is What You Get. Today's message, if you're taking notes, is called Living by Faith. Living by Faith. Now, you and I, we live by sight more than we think. We go through life by sight, and we want what we see. We want the things you see. Actually, we want what we see so much that if you stop to think about the things that you wanted before you saw them, you only realized you wanted them after you saw them. Have you ever had one of those moments happen to you? You don't know what you want, you're looking for it, and then you see it and you go, this was it. This is what I wanted all along. I couldn't quite tell what it was, but this was it. The car you bought, if you drove here, if it wasn't given to you, you bought it because you saw it and you liked it. The home you live in, whether you rent or your own, whether you live in an apartment or a house, if you chose it, you went, looked at it, walked around, it pleased you, and you're like, I'm going to live here. I'm going to make this my home. Your spouse. You had to like what you saw, right? Maybe it wasn't love at first sight like it happened for Eleni when she saw me. And you might even say, well, with us, you know, it's not about the looks, JD. But you had to like what you saw to engage in courtship. Even if you say, it's not about the looks, our connection is deeper, it's more meaningful, it's not about the looks. Like my wife told me when I turned 35, said, I think I'm getting old, honey. It's okay, babe, it's not about the looks. I'm kidding, she never said that. She never said that. I just made it up for the laughs, everybody. Looks had to have something to do with it. In fact, let's have a little couples therapy moment right here for those who are married. Just whisper in your wife or husband's ear, you know, what was it that you liked when you saw, right? Couples therapy. Those online, you can do that too. Just whisper a little sweet nothings. We like what we see. We live by sight. In fact, this is such a thing that there's a show on TV that is one of the top quarantine shows. You know, there's that list now, shows to watch during quarantine, where couples are supposed to do the opposite. They agreed upon a kind of arrangement that they met people without ever seeing them. You know which show I'm talking about? I don't remember the title, but people through walls. And what caught my attention is that they had to build a whole compound. They had to build a whole infrastructure to keep people from seeing each other. And actually, they had to agree, and they had to agree to not see each other. And they actually had penalties and things that they implemented for couples not to see each other. And then they met. They only spoke. The premise of the show is that if you like that person enough without seeing them, you have to propose at a certain date. And you propose, and then if the person says yes, then you get to see them. Now, what's amazing about that show and what attracted people about that show is the fact that the premise is just not the way human nature works. Everybody was attracted to watch it because it's so contrary to the way we live. And you can even see in the show, whenever the curtains opened, and they got to see each other, the reaction on their face, that they liked what they saw. We live by sight. We live by sight. And for the kids in the room, sight means what you see. You guys know that, right? The word sight means to see. Can you say that? Can you repeat that? Sight means to see. Sight means to see. We live by sight. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, or if you follow Christ, if you've read the Bible, this is where you interject in your heart and you say, well, I know where you're going, JD. We shouldn't live by sight. We ought to live by faith. We ought to live by faith and not by sight. And you're right. To live by faith is central to those who follow Christ. But what does that mean? What does it mean to live by faith and not by sight? Does it mean we have to forget sight? Does it mean we have to completely ignore this actual human capacity that we live by, that we have to just annul? I think sight occupies or takes 60 or 70% of our attention and communication. Do we have to just ignore it, suppress it? Or does it mean that faith and sight are opposites? Is that what the scripture is saying? That faith is all the way over here and sight is all the way over there, and you have to pick which way you're going to live, by faith or by sight? See, the Apostle Paul, he was writing about living heavenly minded. The people he was writing to, they were living in an oppressed era. They didn't have their nation anymore. The Roman Empire was controlling every aspect of human life. And he encouraged them by saying, God has a promise for the afterlife. This is only temporary. We ought to live heavenly minded, focused on the promises of God, because this is perishing, but something imperishable is coming. And so he encouraged them with this short verse that we have listened to and we have learned in church. And it says, for we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and not by sight. Short verse. And this is where we get the idea of living by faith, not by sight. Well, Paul writes that, and now we quote it, and we can think, that's good and all, Paul, but how are we actually supposed to live like that? How can you, in your life, live by faith? How can you buy a car by faith? How can you date by faith? Some of you have done that. You do that, right? How do I deal with this pandemic? By faith. How do I get through a divorce? By faith. How do I go through tragedy, failure? How do I go through grief? By faith. I think we need to understand the relationship between faith and sight a little bit better in order that we can ignite our faith life and not live depleted. See, the prophet Habakkuk, he also lived in a time of suffering and injustice. And it was so intense, it was so strong, that they were not in the present day, in the present time when they were living, enjoying any of the promises of God, enjoying any of the things that they heard growing up. The stories of triumph, the stories of miracles, the stories of the hand of God delivering the people of Israel from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, going through the desert, manna from heaven. Those stories were in a distant past. They surely heard them in gatherings, in circles. They certainly remember them at the dinner table reciting the Torah. They surely celebrated them in their parties and feasts, but they were no longer real. They were no longer a reality, and people were not living well. People were sad. They were oppressed. They were suffering at the hands of the powerful, and the powerful weren't even their own people. The powerful were strangers. So Habakkuk started a prayer, and this prayer was an honest complaint. He was just complaining to God. He was complaining to God and saying, how long, God? How long will I pray and you will not answer? How long will the wicked go unchecked? How long are we going to have to suffer? because the wicked surrounds the righteous. Righteousness is perverted. Meaning, justice is not justice. Righteousness is not real righteousness. It's justice for them. It's righteousness for them, not for us. How long are we going to pray and you're not going to answer? And then God answered. And this is how God answered. First words, look and see. Look and see. Wonder and be amazed, for I am doing a work in your days that if you were told, you would not believe it. Habakkuk looks around and he answers God politely. And he says something like this in chapter 2. He says something like this. You are a wonderful God. In fact, you are so good that you can only see good. You are so good, God, that your eyes cannot see and look at evil. In other words, you have no idea what's actually going on. Have you ever met somebody like that? You're trying to tell them, hey, listen, things are not okay. We need to act. We need to do something right here to fix this problem. And they go like, it's all right. Everything is good. No, don't worry. You know those glass half full people? I'm one of them. You're trying to wake them up so they can do something to fix a problem. And they go like, no, there's no problem. Nothing bad is happening. The world is falling apart. And you go like, no, it's all good. They look at you and say, no, it's okay. This is what Habakkuk is saying, that's how God was acting. He's like, God, you can't see what's actually going on. Let me tell you what's going on. We are prey and they are predators. We are fish and they are fishermen, and they are dragging us with their nets, and they are getting enriched, living in luxury on our dime. Is this your plan? Is this your plan? Is this why you delivered us? Is this why you called us your people? Is this your plan? And then God answered again. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. Now, this is a passage that Paul quoted as well in the New Testament. And this is a tenet in the New Testament. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. But this is the context from Habakkuk. Write the vision so big that he who runs may see it. Write it so big that you can see it from far away. God, the enemy is winning. We're prey. And they're the predators. And God's answer is, write the vision. Write it big. In other words, this is what God is saying. Keep what God has spoken within sight. Keep what God has spoken in front of you. Keep what God has spoken so that you can see it. And the righteous shall live by faith. So there's a relationship between sight and faith that we need to learn and grow in. See, to live by faith is not to eliminate sight and turn to faith. To live by faith is not to be blinded by faith. To live by faith is to see by faith. It's to open your eyes by faith. When Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight, that word sight in the Greek means what the external appearance of what's surrounding you. How things look from the outside. How circumstances appear. See, what we learn from the scriptures is that even though it may look like destruction on the outside, even though it may look like turmoil on the outside, faith commands our vision. Faith commands our sight. Faith directs what you see. Faith guides your eyes. Faith must shape our vision. And that's what we are called to do. When Paul is saying we should walk by faith and not by sight, he's saying every single one of us, if we are following Christ, we're following a new kind of life. And we are constantly reaching, constantly reaching, constantly reaching to that life that we can only see by faith. But if we keep reaching and keep believing and keep living and keep claiming, it'll become a reality. It'll come to pass. That's right. That's what God is calling us to do. Now, we have a clear vision as a church. And you know it. Our vision is to connect you to God, connect you to others, and connect you to purpose. That's why God put us here. That's what he called us to do. Now, every single day, we look around in this town, in the state, in Westchester County, and we see people living just the opposite. Disconnected from God, with shallow relationships, disconnected from others, feeling lonely, and disconnected from their purpose, having no idea why they are on earth, having no idea why they're here. So what do we do as a church? What do you do as a believer? What do you do as someone who has bought into the vision of this church? Are we going to live in discouragement and say there's no chance we're going to actually see what God put in our hearts come to pass? Are we just going to sit back and look at our world and say, well, there's no hope. We lost this battle. No. We're going to live by faith. We're going to live by faith and not by sight. Because our vision is that you, your friends, your family, those in our community will connect to God and have a meaningful relationship with Almighty God. They will discover the life of God. They'll have community with God. Our vision and our heart is that every single one of us will be connected to others. That we'll be inserted in thriving relationships, meaningful relationships, meaningful friendships, in harmony, in unity, not in division. Not in factions, not in strife, but in peace, in understanding. And we believe that each person who was created in the image of God has a purpose. And that they will be connected to their purpose. Knowing that their life is not an accident. That they didn't just appear here on this planet by chance. That you didn't just appear here on this planet by chance. But that God, the same God who commanded the Big Bang, the same God who commanded the stars in the heavens, the same God who fine-tuned this planet so fine that would allow for life and your survival. He planned for your life, and he blessed you, and he empowered you to live not just in 2018, not just in 2019, but to live and thrive and have the strength to cross 2020 into 2021 in his plan. See, I don't care what it looks like on the outside. My heart is that we all may have this ability to see, not with our natural eyes, but with our eyes of faith, what tomorrow holds. That we might be able to see tomorrow by faith. So let me ask you, what's guiding your eyes? What's guiding your vision today? What's guiding your life? What's guiding your vision for the future? Is it the things that you see on the outside? Is it the headlines? The social media posts that are all consuming? Is it the problems that you're facing in your home that nobody knows because the world is so loud right now? Is it some internal conflict that you have on the inside that you can't seem to break through because every time you try to rise, it's like you have a lid in your soul that you can't break through? What is capturing your vision and your sight? Is it the pandemic? Is it racism? Are those same things shaping the way you see yourself in the middle of this mess that we're in? Are those things shaping the way that you live your life and determine your tomorrow because of what we're going through? Are those challenges commanding your vision? Now, be honest with yourself, and you don't have to answer this out loud. But how many times during this pandemic did the enemy whisper in your mind, you might die from this thing? How many times during this pandemic were you tempted to live by sight and not by faith? I'm not talking about like wearing masks and social distancing, because that's, you know, it's silly to speak against that. We all lock our doors at night, right? We all lock our cars. We all wear seatbelts. It's no problem to wear a mask. If you hear any Christians talking about not wearing masks being lived by faith, it's not living by faith. That's silly. I'm talking about real existence. Where do you stand? How many times did the enemy put those negative thoughts of defeat in your mind this year? How many times did the enemy try to end your marriage during this pandemic? How many times since you saw that video of George Floyd did the thought in your mind came, you could be next? That could be you. There are so many things surrounding us trying to command our sight, and they are real. And I want to ask you today and invite you today to look up. Look to a God that loves you. Look to a God that has a purpose for your life, who has promised a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of liberty from all that's going on in the world. Set your feet upon the rock that is Christ. Live by faith and not by sight. Now, I was going to ask you to write down your vision. And you can do that, and we may do that later in the series. But as I was praying and writing this message, I felt like I needed to close with an illustration. Not about writing your vision, but about holding on to your vision. Because most of us know what God is speaking to our hearts. Most of us know how to write a vision. We have a God vision for our lives. We have a God vision for our marriage, for our kids. We have a God vision for our career. God has put a dream in your heart. And the problem is not so much to have that vision. The problem is to hold on to that vision and to be able to resist what happens on the outside. Because to live by faith is to see by faith every single day. So I want to call the worship team back up here. And I'm going to use them. They don't even know I'm going to do that. I'm going to use them as a illustration. They're going to be actors acting out something for you right now, representing what happened to Peter. See, you can live by faith when days are bright and sunny. You can live by faith when the flowers are blooming, everything is beautiful. But how do you live by faith in the middle of a storm? So all of you are going to be in the boat, all right? You're disciples. Let me put you guys right here, everybody here. You've already been close to each other, so, you know, you committed your life to Christ. We're going to, you know, there's a spiritual social distance right now. And Susie, you're going to be Jesus, because why not, right? Listen, ladies, you can see yourself in Christ. You know, the world tries to separate us, but and all of that, Jesus never did that. You can see yourself in Christ. You're going to be Peter, and Peter is with child. Can we just celebrate that? You just celebrate that. So you guys are on the boat, and the storm is happening right now. So can you just, there's a storm. Yeah. Now come on, with rhythm, come on. Jamaica man, come on. A little rhythm, huh? Reggae, woohoo. All right, the storm is coming. And then, no. Jesus is going to walk on water, all right? Oh, okay. So Jesus comes walking on water, right? This is the wrong story. You're not sleeping on the boat. Trying to preach the message? Come on. Come on, Jesus. You stand right here. You remember the story. There's a storm. They are terrified. Do your best terrified face. That's a happy terrified person, isn't it? Look at that. He can't not be joyful, this guy. Like, be terrified again. Try. No, you can't. Look at that. That's awesome. So they're terrified of what's happening. Can I get you, Timothy, to go play some keys to make things more spiritual? Go ahead. So there's a keyboard playing in the background of the sea right now. No, I'm kidding. That's just they're in the Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, if you ever go to the coast, either Stanford Harbor or Harbor Point or Cove Island Park, the distance between Stanford and Long Island Sound or Long Island is the same width of the Sea of Galilee, about the same. So that's the size of the sea that Jesus was in and the boat they were in the boat. And the waves were just hitting the boat. And then in comes Jesus, walking on water, like there's nothing going on. Jesus is walking on water. Now there's a spiritual significance to it. The storm doesn't affect him. The waves don't affect him. He's walking over the storm, unaffected by it. Peter sees Jesus, and Peter is just amazed. First, he's really scared because he thinks he's a ghost. Actually, they all think he's a ghost. And Peter is just so moved that Peter says, Jesus, I want to come to you. If you speak, I know that I can come. Call to me, command to me to come to you on water. So you stay right there, Jesus. And Jesus commands Peter to go on water, and Peter begins to walk on water. Now he's walking on water, he's looking at Jesus, he's walking on water, he's looking at Jesus, he's walking on water, he's looking at Jesus. And scripture says this, that he walked on water and came to Jesus, all the way to Jesus. I imagine, because I have a photographic mind, that once Peter came to Jesus, he was like, oh, let me see what's going on over here. I'm standing with Jesus. I'm rocking with Jesus, right? But then he looks at what's going on the outside. He actually begins to notice the storm and what he got himself into. And the scripture says that he began to sink when he saw the wind. What you see is what you get. He took his eyes off of his Savior. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the circumstances. And that's when he began to sink. The good thing for Peter is that he knew where his salvation came from. Now, Peter can swim. He's a swimmer. But he looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, save me. And when he looked at Jesus again, Jesus picked him up and they walked back to the boat. That's right. You guys can go to the boat. You can take your space right now. Thank you. Can you clap for them? Two things from that passage. We are called to walk with God, not to walk as gods. We are called to walk with God. When Jesus calls you into a journey, when God calls you into a journey, he is inviting you to walk with him. You're not empowered to go on your own. This is a relationship. And when he calls you to do the impossible, to break through circumstances that are way more powerful than you. Listen, this pandemic is a storm and it's bigger than you. Racism is a storm and it's bigger than you. It's bigger than any of us. Every social unrest we've had in this nation is bigger than us. And if you try to look at it and think, yeah, we're going to beat this, you're going to feel like Peter looking at the storm and you're going to begin to sink in your heart. Is going to be hopeless. We got to look to the one who has the power to command the storm and know that our job is to be connected to Almighty God. He has eradicated sin. He can calm the storms. He can elevate you. Even when the outside doesn't look like you have the opportunity or the ability, He can elevate you above our world's circumstances, and He can make you walk on waters. Peter understood the significance of what you need to see. And I'm just going to end with this passage really quickly. In chapter 3 of the book of Acts, Peter is walking by the beautiful gate, the scripture says. And Peter and John are going to the temple as they used to. And they saw a lame beggar sitting on the steps asking for money. When Peter saw him, the first thing Peter said to the beggar was, "Look at us." In other words, redirect your sight. Stop looking at your problem. Stop looking at your debilitation. Stop looking at the things that are keeping you bound and keeping where you are. Look at me. And that's what Jesus is telling you today. Look at me. When the lame beggar looked at him, scripture says that his soul was strengthened, his legs were strengthened, and he was able to get up because Peter said, "I don't have silver nor gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up." Can I tell that to you today? Whatever you're facing, can I say that to you today? In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. And as a gesture that you're standing up for whatever difficulty you might be going through, let's actually stand up here today in God's presence and sing together. Now, if any of you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that right now. We're going to pray a simple prayer. And maybe you need to reconnect. Maybe your heart grew cold toward God and you haven't had a relationship with God in a long time. Maybe you grew up in this and it was never real to you. And for those of you watching, this is for you as well. This is a moment. This is a God moment. No matter where you are, God is calling you into His presence. So with your head bowed, if you're watching and you can bow your heads as well and your hand to your heart, pray this prayer with your full heart to begin a relationship with Jesus. Say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and make you my Savior. I leave my past behind. Help me live by faith and not by sight. Help me see by faith. Guide me every day of my life. Forgive me of my sins. God, would you lift the burdens that are holding me down? Would you lift me up when I feel weak? Would you give me strength and wisdom and guidance? Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross. Father God, I give you my heart from this day forward. In the name of our Son, I pray. Amen." Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're reconnected to God, we believe something new began. It's a time for celebration. Let us know. Fill in a connect card online. Let us know that you made this decision today, and we'd love to teach you your next steps. Are you ready to sing one more song? Let's celebrate. Our team is going to lead us in one more song, and then I'm going to come to instruct you on how we're going to exit this building. But thank you for coming today. Are you glad you came to Connect Community this morning? Yes. God bless you. Let's sing, team.